Now, as you may not have this all down right, you may not have figured out all the numbers, et cetera, et cetera. But here at Cornerstone, this is Epiphany Sunday, the Sunday closest to Epiphany. Epiphany is the 12th day of Christmas, the end of the Christmas season, but we're doing 14 days of Christmas here this year. Okay? All right? But this is it. After today, Christmas is over until the end of the year. So we're going to start in Christmas and we're going to end in Christmas, but right now we're at the end of it. Now, the passage of Scripture that was read to you just a moment ago begins with these words. After, catch it, after Jesus was born, during the days of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem to find Jesus. Now, there's a bunch of stuff in there. See, it was after Jesus was born. A few days after, a couple months. We don't know how after Jesus was born. We only know that it was after Jesus was born. Verse 4, I'm going to disagree with him. Watch me now. Because he said 1 hour, but that ain't going to work. Because from verse 4, we know that they found Jesus in a house. In a house. So they did not go to the barn, Christmas cards, paintings, even the crèche figure that we had out on the lawn. Get it like all messed up. Okay, they didn't find him in a barn. They did not present their gifts as he lay in the manger. They had moved. Now, I just want to suspect to you, Ryan, out of respect, Ryan, I just want to say to you, I don't think that Joseph would have moved Mary 1 hour after the baby was born. Okay, there are limits to every woman's endurance, and every man who is a good husband knows that he needs to respect them. But even though they had moved from the barn into the house, Mary and Joseph were still in Bethlehem. It says that in verse 8. They were still there in Bethlehem. We don't know. But it was sometime after Jesus was born. During the days of King Herod. Now, Peter reminds me that, you know, sometimes you get typecast into a role. And that every year when he was a kid, growing up in the church, he was picked to play the part of King Herod in the Christmas story. Okay? He says it tends to bend your psyche some. Okay? And that's because in the story, King Herod is a guy you have to keep your eyes on all the time. In history, he is known as Herod the Great. Okay? He ruled Israel with an iron claw from 37 to 4 B.C. Now, if you follow those dates, you have to be a little careful because, you know, we kind of like changed the calendar from B.C. to A.D. and we think that that's how it happened and Jesus was born in 1 A.D. All after the fact, we didn't quite get it right, we missed. Herod, it was during the days of Herod the Great, it says it, and by 4 B.C., that's before Christ, Herod was gone, but he couldn't have been gone before Christ because he was, it was, got it? You understand the dilemma. Now, he was nominally, King Herod was nominally Jewish, meaning that he was familiar to a point with the customs of the Jews, but he was not given to them with all of his heart. The simple fact is that he was not a Jew. He was an Edomite. And he had managed to seize Israel's throne with the help of the Romans, and he controlled Israel for the Romans. Now, he is responsible for some great things, like the rebuilding of the temple, the one in which Jesus' ministry took place. But his place on the throne of Israel was always insecure at best, and he maintained hold on power by ruthlessly opposing every threat to himself. Just so you know, He even had several of his own sons executed because he perceived them to be a threat to his throne. Great guy. Now it says that during the days of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. Magi. Now traditionally, we say that they were kings. Remember we sang that, we three kings of Orient are. But the Bible never calls them kings. It always calls them Magi. And Magi were not kings. They were, in essence, students of the stars. They were great, learned men who studied the skies and noted the changes therein and pondered the meaning of it. That's what they did with their lives. They looked at the stars and tried to figure out what was happening, what you could learn on the basis of it. Now, they had apparently observed a new star. Now, I just want to mention this to you again real quick. Most of you have seen this before. It's a DVD. It's called The Star. It is a study done by a very learned man who is not a scientist but a lawyer who spent years trying to figure out if he could historically establish the star of Bethlehem appearing in the sky. Okay? And he did. He found it. And he tells the story of the finding of it in this DVD. Now, I want to just warn you about this. This is not a kid's show. Okay? This is an adult DVD. Not because it is filled with stuff you don't want kids to see, but because if you watch this, you got to sit down, you got to give your attention to it, and you have to listen to what he is saying. And when you do, it'll make the hair stand up on the back of your head because he found the star of Bethlehem. It is not a biblical creation, not a theological reality. It is a historical fact, and it's right here. Now, here's what you can do, okay? If you are so inclined to give your time and to study this and find it out, I put some copies of this DVD on that table back there. You are welcome to take them, okay? I bought them some years ago. Many people bought them from the congregation. Lots of you have your own copy. You've watched it over and over again, or at least once. If you want one, take it, because believe me, sitting in a box in my office is doing nobody any good. So you're welcome to take one today. What's important to know is that the star the Magi saw actually did exist. It is historically established. Now, they saw the star, which they believed, based on their study of such things, told of the birth of a new king in Israel. And they were moved by what they saw to go and pay homage to this new king whose birth they saw foretold in the skies. So they left their homes, which were probably in Persia, and traveled all the way to Jerusalem, the capital city of Jerusalem, or of Israel, in search of a new king of the Jews. They were guessing. See, it's natural that they would go to Jerusalem, the city of David, the capital of Israel, to find a new king of the Jews. You would think that a new king of the Jews would be born in the king's palace. So they went to Herod's palace. That's where they went. Now, these are the historical things that were occurring at that time, but what's happening in the story is an important theological shift that you don't want to miss. The focus of the story, of the Christmas story, is shifting at this point. See, first, God sent word about the coming of the Messiah to Zechariah, who was an old priest, a devout Jew. Then God sent word about the coming of the Messiah to a girl named Mary, a righteous young woman who had found favor with God and who was a direct descendant of great King David and a devout Jew. Next, God sent word to Joseph, a good man who diligently kept the law of Moses and was a direct descendant of great King David, a devout Jew. And then the shift began. God sent word to the shepherds. who were probably not such good Jews, but who were nonetheless still Jewish. They were Jewish by birth. But in the text read to you today, new people get involved in the story of Jesus' birth. First, there is King Herod, who was not really a Jew at all, although he sometimes pretended to be Jewish. And then we find the Magi, who came from Persia, who didn't even pretend to be Jews. See, suddenly God's plan was being revealed to all people everywhere, even to those who were not numbered among the chosen nation, among Israel. Even from the beginning of time, God's plan extended to all who would believe. Any person who would believe in his heart that Jesus Christ was Lord, and who would confess the same with his lips, any person could and would be saved by the grace of Almighty God revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so just a few days, or perhaps months, after Jesus was born, the focus shifted from Israel alone to the whole wide world. For in those days, Magi came to worship him. And aren't you glad that the focus shifted? Because had it remained on the Jews alone, you and me would be lost. Now it's important to note that the focus of the Magi, non-Jews, who came from the east, was to worship Jesus. Now, the word that is used here, translated worship, is correctly translated to pay homage and to give respect. It does not mean that they believed that Jesus was the Son of God, or that Jesus was even a God, or was in any way related to God. They came to pay homage to a newborn king, not to worship the Son of God. Their faith at the beginning was embryonic. It was certainly not fully developed. They didn't know the whole story. But that is exactly how it works for people who come to the King of Kings. At first, our faith in him is embryonic. The wise among us today will still openly admit that we do not have it all figured out yet. Sometimes we think we got it all figured out. We got a grasp on the truth. Yeah. And then we discovered that somehow we managed to lose it, even as we thought we had it figured out. See, we don't come to Jesus because we got the whole Bible memorized. Anybody here done that yet? We don't come to Jesus because we know all the ins and the outs of Scripture. In fact, we all recognize that we're still struggling with some of it. We come as did the Magi, because we have seen something or heard something about him which has caught our imagination. We come, as the song says, to see all he is with honest and open hearts. At first, we simply come to pay homage. But it is also important to note that this coming to pay homage was more than just a passing commitment for the Magi. Their trip to find Jesus required them to rearrange their lives. They had to leave their homes, probably comfortable homes in Persia, and travel a long way to find the Christ child. Their journey was expensive, and nobody was paying the cost but them. They had to rearrange their lives, folks, to come and pay homage to Christ. And that's where things sort of fall apart for us, isn't it? Too many of us are more like Herod than we are the Magi. We simply want to play at this Jesus thing. Like Herod, there are times when we want to be identified with the religious. But there are times when we would just choose to leave it alone. All too many of us want to slip just enough Jesus into our lives to get us into heaven. But we don't want so much Jesus that our lives get totally rearranged, do we? And folks, that's the problem. You're going to forgive me for saying it, but that's the rub. You can't have just a little Jesus. There's no such thing as just enough Jesus. If you want Jesus, you have to come, be willing to pay homage to Him. You have to want to worship Him, and though you may not be there at the start of your journey, there will come a moment in your worship of Christ, in your paying homage to Him, when you will discover that what Jesus wants and the only thing that will satisfy Him is your permission to rearrange your life. See, to come to Him means to believe in your heart and to say with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that means that you have come to the place where you are resolved to do what it is He asks you to do. That you are ready to let Him rearrange your life. But to be honest with you, as I said a moment ago, Herod is the one to watch. In the Christmas story, Herod is the great pretender. He pretends to be a Jew to claim the throne of David. He pretends that he wants to know where Jesus is so that he can go like the Magi and worship Him. But everything he does is just for show. Underneath it all, Herod's only interest in life is Herod. And this new king, this potential Messiah, is of interest to Herod because he is a threat to Herod's power and position and wealth. And so Herod pretends that he wants to worship Jesus, when in truth what he wants to do is find this new baby king and kill him. To protect himself, to keep his life from being rearranged by God, Herod wants to kill the baby Jesus. Now it seems extreme. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I see it all the time. I deal with it all the time. I have experienced it myself over and over again. People, even good people. Now, I just did this in prayer because this phrase bothers me. Who of you thinks you are good? If any of you think it, and are just refusing to raise your hand, you are in contradiction to the word of God in your thinking. God's word says there is none good. No, not one. And when we begin to think that we are good, we are denying the truth of God's word. The truth is not in us. People in the church who consider themselves good people become absorbed with their power, with their position, with their wealth and their wisdom. And like Herod, they will not allow God to rearrange their lives. So instead of joining the plan of God, they resist the new thing that God is doing, just as did King Herod. And as a result, they try to kill the plan of God and so miss the blessing God's plan always bestows. They just will not allow Jesus to rearrange their lives. So in this text, at the end of the Christmas story, the Bible carefully exposes us to the first non-Jews called by God to come to the Christ child. They are very much alike us. Rich, powerful, comfortable. I know you don't consider yourself rich, but the rest of the world does. They know the truth. The Magi come in purity of heart, singing quietly, "O come, let us adore him." And even though they don't fully understand all that that means, they're singing it in their hearts. And then King Herod comes, pretending to be a seeker of the Christ child, but all the while, under his breath, singing, "Oh, please, let me destroy him." And here we are, like them, not Jews, either seeking or pretending to seek the Christ child. Now, I know we're either seeking or pretending because we're here, right? Any of you not here? See, we are here today, so we are either truly seeking or pretending to seek. Some don't even bother to pretend, folks, because they won't come. Don't be misled. Don't be misled. If they sit outside and won't come to adore the Christ child, even at Christmas, they're telling you the truth about where they are. They're not pretending. They are not even seeking. They're not here. But we are here because we are either truly seeking Jesus, we come to pay him homage, or because we want everybody else to think we are. And we know the truth because we've read the story, or at least you heard it read today. The Magi found Jesus, and they offered him fitting gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And it may be that in their search for the truth, they opened their hearts and let Jesus rearrange their lives. It is entirely possible that they were made different because they came to pay homage to the Christ child with pure hearts. And I got to tell you, I don't know. Because after this little bit about them, they disappear. We don't know. But I can tell you one thing. Herod's heart was never changed. He was not even allowed by God to lay his eyes on the Christ child. He continued to do his life his way, and his life ended in total disaster. So the question then is, what are you going to do? Are you going to seek him, or are you just going to pretend? And the difference will be in what you allow God to do in your heart. If you're truly seeking, you will resolve to allow Jesus to rearrange your life.